afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH, streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app. Democrats are getting increasingly desperate on immigration, but hey, what they end up doing is just highlighting the crisis. It's ridiculous, and it's what's trending.
What's trending at the border?
So the Republican National Committee just launched a website, launched today. It's called BidenBloodbath.com. Now, obviously, they're picking up on the word bloodbath because disingenuously, and I think this actually blew up in their faces, but you had not just the Biden administration, but you had left-wing media outlets pretending that he was calling for political violence when he said a bloodbath specifically about the economy around the auto industry. It was so disingenuous, so disingenuous. He says plenty of stuff you can go after. Why just make it up? And anyone who saw the video, and I think a lot more people than they expected saw the context, they all knew it. And so now they're owning bloodbath in a bigger way. Now, if you go to the website, it gives a timeline on the border crisis. It will tell you why the Biden administration policies, or I guess lack thereof, is responsible for the crime crisis that we're having, at least in part, the drug crisis that we have. And now the president is using the term even more as he's doing these campaign speeches. Earlier today, he was doing a visit in Michigan, and he brought up the term at this rally.
Cheating elections and disinformation, misinformation, fairly closely related those two words. But they basically mean that it's all talk, but it's a border bloodbath, and it's destroying our country. It's a very bad thing happening. It's going to end on the day that I take office, which will be January 20th. It'll end.
You know, we talk a lot about on the show how Democrats are really good at branding. Well, Trump is also really good at branding. He's an outlier with Republicans. And in a lot of ways, his brand around the border is due to unfair attacks by not just Democrats, but left wingers in media. They made it very easy for him to say, yeah, I can be very tough on the border. And it just so happens to be the biggest or one of the biggest issues heading into this presidential election. So, you know, as much as I think his policies obviously make it easier for him to say he's tough on the border, let's also be honest. It was the Democrats' attack that made it clear that people look at Donald Trump and say, yeah, he's the guy who talks about the border. He's the president who cares about the border. And given the fact that we're seeing a lot of crimes happening as a result of illegal immigration, violent crimes, here in Washington, we saw what happened when an illegal immigrant allegedly speeding hits a trooper, Christopher Gadd, killing him. We saw, of course, what was happening with Lake and Riley in Georgia. And in Michigan, a 25-year-old woman, Ruby Garcia, was killed allegedly by someone who was in this country illegal. He was illegally, he was deported to Mexico back in 2020, but then he reenters the country at some point, we don't know when, and allegedly kills Ruby Garcia.
It's also justice for Ruby. We're going to deliver justice for Ruby. We're going to watch what happens with this thug. We're going to watch what happens. And we have all the law enforcement behind. They're going to be watching what happens to this thug. He's not going to get away with it. So many people get away with it. They say, oh, let him go. Let him go.
This is very clearly a positive talking point or issue for the former president. There's very little doubt about it. And he is going to continue to pounce on it because he was going to do that anyway. Right. This was always going to be a big issue for him. He was going to talk about the economy. He was going to talk about crime, drug use, and immigration. And weirdly enough, you can tie all those issues together. It's actually quite easy. And so Democrats, by pretending there wasn't an issue at the border, made it really, really, really easy for Donald Trump to re-own this position. And you can tell that the Biden administration is panicked. You can tell that the campaign is panicked. But when you listen to their comms guy, John Kirby, today, talking about the Biden border bloodbath, which is hard to say quickly one after the other, he got put on the defensive, and his response was just kind of, it's almost like he didn't expect to be asked about this.
Well, I'm not aware of this, the specifics of this case. I mean, that's just terrible news. And our thoughts and prayers obviously go to the family of Ms. Garcia. I mean, that's the kind of news no family ever wants to get.
Just real quickly, the whole thoughts and prayers thing, because I seem to remember y'all on the left saying the right should not say thoughts and prayers after gun violence. Enough is about guns and thoughts and prayers. Enough. And yet when it comes to illegal immigrants committing criminal acts, I guess we're going back to thoughts and prayers. Okay.
Ever. And we would certainly defer to local law enforcement and investigative bodies to do the spade work that needs to be done to figure out exactly what happened to Ruby, and to hold the perpetrators accountable for that. So why don't we let the judicial process play out here before we start making grandiose bumper sticker comments about what this says about the border?
It's not grandiose, nor is it a bumper sticker. It does make a good bumper sticker, I suppose, but are you denying the fact that we have an increase in crime associated with illegal immigrants? I know that every outlet and every Democrat goes out of their way to say, well, actually, multiple studies show that illegal immigrants commit far fewer crimes than American-born citizens. Number one, that's not actually what the studies tell you because we don't track this. But let's go specifically to violent crime. Let's just live in a world in which that is a fact. I'm okay acknowledging that as a fact for the sake of the argument, that there are fewer illegal immigrants committing crimes, violent or otherwise, than legal American-born citizens. And so? So what? You do understand that those crimes, however few, would not occur if they weren't in this country illegally. So right now, Ruby Garcia would be alive. Right now, Christopher Gadd would be alive. Lakin Riley would be alive. There would be a ton of people who have been victimized by illegal immigrants who would not have gone through the trauma had they not been in this country illegally. That's what this is about. The idea that they commit fewer crimes does not matter. It's that a crime is committed in the first place when we didn't have to allow that crime to take place. That's what this is about. And that they either purposefully confuse this or pretend to not understand is just beyond any kind of rational thinking, especially given the fact that they know as a matter of fact that this is an important issue in this election. They completely ignore that part. And they spin and spin and spin as if we're too stupid to understand what it is that they're doing. And doing it in April of 2024, that indicates they're not going to change, right? They're not going to change. And the only thing that you're going to start to hear is that Joe Biden will start to say, I'm really optimistic. He's going to say that nonstop over the course of the next few months, nonstop. And the reason why he's doing that, especially when it comes to issues around the border or crime or the economy, he's going to basically want you to believe that Donald Trump is just the negative guy and he's the positive guy, Joe Biden. That's what he thinks is going to save his campaign. I'm Mr. Positive. Well, positivity works when the general public feels positive, right? But when the general public doesn't have that kind of positivity, you're just annoying. Right. You're just insufferable. You're just that guy who's always smiling. You're like, what are you smiling about? You're the person in the office on Monday who's just so happy to be there. Oh, it's so happy because you don't have a life and you don't want to be stuck at home alone. We got it. You're lonely. But not everybody else feels that way. Everyone else is kind of miserable. And when they're looking at their own finances right now, the majority of Americans are not feeling all that great. I know you want them to believe that they have higher wages, which might technically be true, until you realize it's not keeping up with inflation. And so you would, unless you don't understand math, you would rather have the lower wages if it meant inflation was where it used to be, because your dollar was worth more then. Your dollar was worth more then. But please keep telling us immigration's not an issue, crime's not an issue, drug crisis, what drug crisis? Oh, and the economy is great. Hashtag Bidenomics. Weirdly, you don't hear that being said anymore, do you? When was the last time we heard him say Bidenomics?
It's been a while.
Right? I feel like he was doing that every day, nonstop, every talking head. All of a sudden, every once in a while it comes out, but not really. No Bidenomics anymore. Weird. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? on the road.
So the 18-year-old accused of running that red light in Renton, crashing into a van, killing four people, including three children. He was allegedly driving 112 miles per hour. He had his first court appearance yesterday. And I do have to say, I am not a fan of any of this remote nonsense, including with courts. Show up, get into the courtroom, be a juror, do whatever it needs to do. Don't do this remote stuff. In this case, I'm all for it because this kid, Chase Jones, 18 years old, he was in his hospital bed and they remote transferred him into the courtroom for his first court appearance in which he pled not guilty. Now, otherwise, if we lived in a world in which we pretended, I guess, that this technology didn't exist, he would have delayed this. He would still be in the hospital for a long time before he actually gets in front of a judge and says he's not guilty and get the whole process moving along. And so I love the fact that the remote visit was worth it here. It's 100% worth it here. And I hope we do more of this kind of stuff, including the criminal suspects who refuse to appear, which is their right. But the problem is it just delays that first court appearance or the hearing. And so just bring a webcam. Just give someone a phone and just go into his cell. He's technically there. If he doesn't want to respond to you, that's on him. But no more of this, oh, I don't want to show up. So he pleads not guilty to four counts of vehicular homicide, two counts of vehicular assault, plus reckless driving. Amy Friedheim is a King County prosecutor on this particular case. And she points out in the courtroom in front of this judge, dude has a history.
There is evidence that this defendant has been driving at an excessive speed and totaled two vehicles before this collision.
Now, if you're the attorney representing the kid, you're in kind of a tough spot. You just are. And I guess he's doing what he can here.
This is an allegation in which my client may have made a dumb mistake in driving above the speed limit. That's the allegation.
Yeah, no, I got the allegation. Thank you. It was a dumb mistake, I guess. But, I mean, is it really a mistake if you're doing it allegedly intentionally? You generally know you're speeding, right? I know all of us have been in a position where we look down and, oh, I didn't realize we were going that fast. Not 112 miles an hour. I'm not going to give you that one. I'll give you, oh, I'm driving 80 and it was a 60 mile. Okay, I'll give you that one. 112 miles per hour? No, you're making a choice. And given the fact that he's, quote unquote, made the mistake multiple times beforehand, you can only use that excuse so many times. If this was the first time, you can probably make that excuse. And as much as it doesn't excuse anything that occurred, allegedly, one could understand that, right? They can say, okay, yes, he is an 18-year-old. 18-year-olds are all idiots, and they do stupid things all the time. I was 18 once, blah, 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 blah. But when you've got a record of doing this over and over and over again, allegedly, then that's a problem. And so the court heard from both sides. The judge ended up putting a $100,000 bail on him, which he just got a new Audi, right? Wasn't that the news? I feel like they can put up 10 grand to get him out of jail, which doesn't seem like we're doing a service to the community. He'll be on apparently electronic home monitoring, which doesn't actually work and usually isn't staffed on weekends. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Anti-Semitism.
The roaming billboards calling out anti-Semitism was here in Seattle yesterday. This time it was targeting Ian Golash, the teacher over at Chief South High School that we've been covering for the last several months. We broke the story a few months ago of him bringing into the classroom a whole lot of anti-Semitic garbage. It's part of his curriculum. And it resulted in a whole bunch of complaints coming into the school, but they didn't appear to do anything. So the folks over at Accuracy and Media decided to step up. They had roaming billboards going to the school, but also his neighborhood, reminding everyone that, yeah, they're either taught by or live next to someone who holds virulently anti-Semitic views. Joining me on the line is the president of Accuracy and Media, Adam Gallet. Adam, welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Hey, thank you so much for having me back. We've been putting frowns in the faces of more bad people.
I love it. I've been trying to get you to come down to Seattle for a while now. So when I saw you were here, I was like, yes, perfect, finally. Why did you pick? Because unfortunately, you could have probably chosen to go to many locations across Seattle, many schools across Seattle. Why did you pick Ian Golash?
Great question. You know, obviously, and unfortunately, it is a target-rich environment of anti-Semitism in America right now. And for us, if you're merely pro-Palestine, or you just say that you're anti-genocide, or even if you call for, you know, BDS of Israel and boycotting and all that, fine, whatever. Those are reasonable positions where I could disagree with you on some of that, but those are perfectly reasonable, acceptable positions to have. But when you've got someone like Golash, who is openly pro-Hamas, openly defending the murder and rape and mutilation of women at a music festival, that is someone who absolutely deserves the kind of attention that we provide. That is someone who absolutely deserves a frown on their face. And when you've got a school district like the Seattle Public School District, where they take so much money in tax dollars and then spend it on a horrible anti-Semite, that is absolutely disgusting.
It is disgusting. So how did this all unfold yesterday, first at the school?
So first, we sent our mobile billboard to the school, and what we've discovered when we send our billboards to visit people is many times they come out and scream at the mobile billboard driver. So what we've started doing recently is a little surprise. When they come out to scream at the driver, they're greeted by me with a microphone and a cameraman. Golash, in fact, did a little impromptu field trip and took his class out to meet us, to his credit, during the day at the school. And the first student who came out ran up to us ahead of time and immediately told us how much he disliked Golash, how much his parents disliked Golash, how they didn't think he should be teaching in the district anymore. It's a brave kid saying it with his teacher within earshot, but he was speaking the truth that this is a man who shouldn't be teaching children. And it's a shame when you've got to hear adult viewpoints from kids, because the actual adults in the Seattle public school system won't do a thing about it.
I love the fact that that happened with the student, but I'm going to be honest. I don't give him credit for doing this. This is clearly inappropriate. He should not be bringing out his students to greet you where you're doing interviews. As much as it's great content, and if I were you, I would film the heck out of it and make sure everyone sees it. But if I'm a parent, even if I agree with you, I would say, okay, you know, is this really the best use of your time in a class? Did I give you permission to bring my son or daughter out to a protest? Because let's be honest, if you were a MAGA hat wearing guy and the teacher wanted to bring the teachers out there, the students out there to greet you because he was glad you were there and agreed with you, this would be a huge scandal.
That's right. But I'll tell you what, if I was one of the parents, I'd probably rather have the kids outside the classroom than in the classroom with Golash spewing propaganda at them. These are kids who told me that one of their teachers, an English teacher, just pushes communist propaganda on them. Literally, this is not hyperbole. The kid was telling us about how they were assigned to write a paper on how communism is better than capitalism. And Golash came over and I finally got to speak with him a little bit. And I asked him things like, was it acceptable for Hamas to attack young female civilians at a music festival? Was that merely resistance to oppression? And he doubled down and said, yes, it was acceptable for that to happen, which is sickening. And imagine being a young, you know, female student in his classroom, knowing that that's how he views that sort of thing. So I also asked him then, okay, well, you've said you view America as an oppressor state like Israel. Would it then be okay for terrorists to come and kill a bunch of girls at Bonnaroo or at Lollapalooza? And he didn't really have much of an answer for that, not surprisingly. I think he already had realized the hole that he dug for himself.
Oh, my God. We're joined by Adam Galletti. He's the president of Accuracy in Media. Their website, by the way, is aim.org, AIM.org. He visited first at school, Ian Golash, a teacher who has put out some very anti-Semitic propaganda, openly supporting Hamas tactics and Hamas itself. But you also then went to his neighborhood. How did that unfold?
Well, unfortunately, he wasn't there, or if he was, he didn't come out to greet us again. But we did make sure that his neighbors knew exactly the kind of person that they live near. And, you know, we spoke with a few people who live right by him, and they were disgusted, as one would expect, by his actions. And it's clear, you know, these people we were talking to were not MAGA hat wearing, you know, Trump Republicans or anything like that.
Not in Seattle.
They were probably, yeah, exactly. Not in Seattle. Yet still, they're reasonable enough people to realize that, you know, you could be against genocide without being pro-Hamas. So thankfully, fortunately, his colleagues now know exactly what's going on with him. His students now know that he's has an arrest record. Golash has been arrested, of course, multiple times. You know, and I asked him, do you only say all cops are bastards because they keep arresting you? He didn't really have an answer for that. But now, in addition to his students knowing that they're taught by a communist criminal, his neighbors now know that they live among an anti-Semite.
And isn't that this is more about making sure everyone else knows, not really about, or at least not simply about shaming the individual. This is about making sure neighbors know who they live next to, and in this case, kids and parents knowing who their teacher is.
Well, that's exactly right. We merely amplify their message. If they're ashamed of what they've done, if Golash regrets what he said, all they have to do is apologize, and we take down their website, we stop targeting them with billboards, all of that stops. But if they're proud of what they've done, if they don't regret it, well, then I think, as I said, we're amplifying their message. They probably owe us a thank you card. That's essentially what we do. And we do believe in forgiveness. You know, we've taken down many websites for students who have since, you know, changed their mind and said, maybe I don't hate the Jews after all. You know, when 10 of the 30 student groups at Harvard withdrew from the anti-Semitic proclamation, we took down all of their websites. But I think for the foreseeable future, IanGolash.com, which we, of course, own, will be up and live and will provide everybody with an opportunity to send a message to the Seattle school district, letting them know that they should hold Golash accountable.
Yeah, and I hope, at least in this case, people realize Ian Golash is not standing down. He's actually promoting the website, and he's got some of his fellow world travelers using the website to send supportive messages. So folks at home who are disgusted by all of this can go to IanGolash.com. IanGolash, and send the actual letter calling out the anti-Semitism and just get on record to make sure that they know over in the Seattle Public School District that we're watching, we're aware of what it is they're giving a pass to, and we're not going to just sit by quietly and just pretend that it doesn't matter. I think this also, of course, sends a message to other teachers within the district that this could happen to them, and they might not be the same as Ian Golash in wanting to celebrate the fact that he doesn't think Israel has the right to exist and apparently thinks that rape is an okay way to wage war, which for him to double down on that is just pretty despicable. I look forward to watching the videos. You'll have them out later on this week. Again, you can go to the Accuracy in Media website. It's just aim.org. You can also follow them on Twitter. And I will be doing what I can to amplify the work that you've been doing, Adam. I really appreciate everything that you've been doing.
Thank you again so much for having me.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Again, the website is aim.org. Coming up, the big local.
Olympia, Sammamish, Lakewood, Bellevue.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rand Show.
Bellingham, Kirkland, Z-Town.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. They're online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore the stories coming out of Seattle, and instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start in the city of Kent because uninvited illegal immigrants that we're supposed to just simply refer to as refugees, they're about to lose that hotel that they've been staying in for the last several months. And now, you gotta love this, they're threatening to move to a park in Seattle. I wonder why that might be. Huh. Now, in fairness to the city we generally don't talk about in this segment, they said that it is, quote, not a solution. So they're indicating, please don't come. Please, please, please. This is a political headache. My God, the mayor doesn't want to have to deal with this because he's not going to be able to clear you even if he wanted to because of the bad optics. We just don't want to do. Please, please, please. And whether or not they listen, I don't know. I have no clue. But I do know they're at least in the short term saying, we better raise funds so that we can pay to stay in this hotel. It's a Quality Inn. So Como says they're looking to raise the funds because specifically, and it's only April, keep this in mind, the city of Seattle and its immigrant and refugee office, I can't remember the full title of it, says they don't have any more money for this. They ran out of money, and it's April 2nd, okay? So, they're either spending it like mad or they didn't have much to begin with, and yet they gave it to a group of folks who aren't even in the city. They gave it to folks who were in Kent, Tukwila, Des Moines, SeaTac. Does that make any sense? No. And at the end of the day, they might come here anyway. Jeez. Oh. Kent has also come out. We talked to the mayor 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, coming on the show saying, yeah, we don't have any money. Don't ask us. We don't have it. So at the same time as they're trying to raise money, I'm sure there'll be some GoFundMe page. But at the same time, you've got about 300 more illegal immigrants living apparently inside the Riverton Park United Methodist Church, a church that doesn't actually care about the community that says, we'd prefer you not do this. It's out in Tukwila. Pastor Jan Bowler Jack, speaking with Como TV, basically wants to shame everyone who's not going to be a hero like she is.
Other people have got to step up and do host homes or other churches or government agencies, open new buildings, open new hotels. We got to have a solution to this, because sending folks to the street is not what we should ever be doing with anyone.
I mean, how about you shouldn't be opening your border so that people don't come here illegally? It's almost like we can prevent this from happening. But let's put down as an idea to go against homelessness, to tackle homelessness, just open more hotels. I didn't realize it was that simple. Should we start from scratch? Or is that what she means? Should we be quite literally building new hotels? Or are you just saying, yeah, let's just buy out another hotel and then put illegal immigrants in it? Because that's a great use of our funds. How about this, Jan? I can call Pastor Jan. I'll show some respect. You can continue to be a hero by allowing them to stay in your church. Oh, were they inconveniencing you? Oh, I'm sorry. Brown people inconvenience you. That's how they would talk to us. Oh, my God. Here's a volunteer. His name is Ken. I feel bad for people who don't know where they're going to live. There's no doubt. And, you know, he points out this creates a lot of uncertainty.
People need to know that there's a crisis when you're living week to week or 2 weeks to 2 week funding, not knowing when the deadline comes, it takes a toll on you. The young people, instability, because you know this, when they move from Kent, let's say, to SeaTac, that's school districts that they need to change. So it takes a grand toll.
100%. It's almost like it should be a toll enough not to come into this country illegally and go through the right process so you don't find yourself in a position like this. Look, I've said it a number of times. I understand why people want to come into this country. I do. 100% I understand. It does not mean you get to break the law to do it. And if you make the decision to come into this country legally, or just like you're a legitimate refugee, there's no guarantee that we have any room for you. That just doesn't work like that. So you made the choice to come here with your kids, without a house, without an apartment to crash. That's on you. And if you're here for the right reasons and you went through the right process, that's different. But if you're coming here illegally and you clearly do not qualify for refugee status, because wanting to come into a country for a better life is not qualified on the list of qualifications for refugee status, that's kind of on you. And frankly, it's on the Democrat lawmakers and the activists who made it really easy for you to do it. They're part of the reason why you're suffering right now. At the end of the day, that's on them. They are the ones responsible. Meanwhile, there was a post that the Thurston County Sheriff put up on the Thurston County Sheriff's Facebook page that caught people's attention. And the second I saw it, I knew it would become the newest completely contrived issue that the anti-cop left will complain about. Before we dive in, let's just be clear. The anti-cop left, they're named that because no matter what, they're going to be upset with police. There is quite literally nothing a police department or agency can do other than be quote unquote dismantled that won't make them, like they'll be livid either way. So understand that. In this case, it was actually quite simple of a Facebook post. It just says, today Sheriff Sanders swore in two new employees. One was a corrections deputy and the other one was a lateral patrol deputy. Lateral meaning he came from another department. They took two photos, awkwardly shaking hands. you have this one kid who looks literally like he's maybe 22 years old. He's just staring awkwardly at the camera, but Derek Sanders, the sheriff, has a big smile on his face. And then in the other one, it is also kind of like, just, I don't really want to take this photo smile. And you wouldn't think anything of it unless people remembered one particular name, Christopher Burbank. Now, most people probably don't know who that is. Do you know who Christopher Burbank is?
No.
I'm going to give you a hint, okay? And I think you'll be able to get it, but I'm going to give you just a hint. He's one of the officers who was acquitted in the death of Manny Ellis from Tacoma Police Department. Do you know who Christopher Burbank is?
Yeah.
Who?
I don't know.
So he was acquitted, right? So he was charged in the death of Manny Ellis along with other officers, all of whom were acquitted because it was a political hit job coming from Bob Ferguson, who is desperate to go after police so he can say during this campaign, I support cops, but not the dirty ones, and I go after them hard. That's it. So people are upset that Christopher Burbank now has a job in policing, pretending that somehow he shouldn't be a cop because he was falsely charged with something and then was very clearly found not guilty and acquitted by a jury. All of the evidence made it very clear that he was not responsible for the death of Manny Ellis. Are we to not have him work ever again because some activists who believe all cops are bastards didn't end up going to jail, so now we just can't ever let him work again in policing? This is what he does for a living. If you don't like it, tough. Don't live in Thurston County. How about that? Oh, you do live in Thurston County and you're upset? Okay, then move to a city with its own department. Sorry, you don't get to decide here. This is just so silly. And I know that Sheriff Sanders is already getting some pushback and expects some more pushback. He says he's going to handle it himself for now. We'll be here happy to defend this decision. This is a good cop who got railroaded, or at least they attempted to railroad him. He came out on top. People are upset. Well, tough luck. That's how this works. And by the way, please tell me how you want to, quote unquote, ban the box so that when someone is getting a job interview, they don't have to say that they're even a felon, because you don't want them to miss out on work because you say that that is, you know, an offense to your social justice cause. Is that not ironic that you've got all these people who talk about how we should be giving felons a second chance? In fact, they should even vote. Felons should even vote from jail. And yet someone who was falsely accused and then acquitted, oh, how I can't believe it. How dare he vote how dare he police again? Is it because it was a politically charged decision and he happens to be a white cop? You think that might be playing just like a little bit of a role?
Maybe.
Just a little tiny bit. I'm not saying 100%. I am saying 99.9%. But still, there is that 0.1% that maybe it's just they don't like his hair. Which if I were, I'm not going to get into it. That's mean. I'm just having a perfect hair day, which people would know if they were watching the video camera, the webcam feed, which is live over at KTTH.com, as well as on the KTTH smartphone app. Real quickly, one last story. It comes to us from the Bellingham Herald. A man who's actually from Everett pleaded not guilty to a number of felonies. He's accused of giving fentanyl or fentanyl powder to prisoners in the housing area at the Whatcom County Jail. Now, at the time, he was in jail as well. Not entirely sure how he got the fentanyl powder. They haven't been able to figure that part out, or it's part of an ongoing investigation. But they say, according to the prosecuting attorney's office, one man died as a result of taking the fentanyl powder, and another person ended up in the hospital with an overdose but survived. That guy has been talking to police and told them what happened. Angel Leffingwell, he's 38 years old. He's now pleading not guilty to, and this is one of those charges that I think can make a huge difference in the war against drug dealers. He's being charged with controlled substance homicide. Now, usually that's very difficult to prove. Controlled substance homicide is exactly what it sounds like. Someone was killed as a result of taking a controlled substance that was provided to them by someone who's not a doctor. And that's a way to go after drug dealers, or at least to warn drug dealers, hey, maybe you should get out of this business, because if someone dies as a result of taking your product, we're going to go after you. And this is a homicide charge. You're not getting a slap on the wrist for this. Now, the reason why it's generally difficult to prove, do you know? Any ideas why it's generally difficult to prove?
Say, because usually there's multiple drugs in one system.
Well, because there's multiple drugs in one system.
And it's difficult to tie it directly to one person.
It's hard to tie it to one person.
And it's even more impossible to find out whether or not a little bit of it or a lot of it caused the death, or if there's something else going on.
And it's hard to find out if there's, you know, something else going on or...
Yeah, you know, I'll give you a pass on that one. I think you did a pretty good job unaided. That was a good job. But what you just said is 100% correct. When you're dealing with someone who took multiple drugs, how do you prove that the additional drugs that were taken were purchased from this guy or this... Well, it's usually a guy. From the drug dealer. In this case, why is it kind of simple in their view to charge and convict?
Because there was only one drug in the person's system, and it came from this one person, according to the court documents.
Because there was only one drug in his system, and it came from only one person, according 100%. To the court documents.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm glad you offered that at the end there to protect us from being sued for libel or defamation, I guess. So they think they're going to be able to go after him on this. Love it. Love it. I want them, even if they don't think that they can win a case, they should be charging every single drug dealer with this when you can tie it to, or you think you can tie it to, an actual homicide or death. That's one way to go about the drug crisis. That is one really effective way. If all of a sudden prosecutors take this seriously, they're going to say to the drug dealers pretty clearly, yeah, do this at your own risk. I know you're used to doing an overnight stay in a jail cell. Not anymore. We're going after you for homicide. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. Don't forget, Greg Nunn wants you to know the IRS is going after older cases very aggressively. If you received a form, CP504 form from the IRS, you do not want to ignore it. Be proactive. Resolve your situation by calling Greg Nunn. Just Google N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. When we come back, you pick the news. Story number one, something about Caitlin Clark. Or story number, don't pick that one. Story number two, Bay Area Transit is giving riders intervention cards to help stop harassment. I'm certain that's going to work. Pick that story. 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rancho.
You pick the topic on the Jason Rance Show.
Indeed, you do get to pick the stories. And you went with the one that I completely gaslit you into choosing. Right. It was a little manipulative what I just did.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah. I didn't even look at the numbers. I didn't even look at the text. Wait, quickly. I looked. Yeah. Everyone agrees with me. So I can honestly say I have no understanding of how this could potentially work. And I first heard about it on Greg Gutfeld's show last night, and they were mocking it. And I don't know. Did we end up getting the audio from the BART system? I don't think we did, but they've got a new, they're calling them just cards that they're promoting. And it allows someone who's riding on the BART system to disclose that they're being harassed. And the person who gets the card is supposed to be like, oh, now I understand you're getting harassed. Let me stay with you and risk getting stabbed so that you feel more safe. They write over at the National Desk, passengers experiencing sexual harassment can distribute the cards informing and requesting assistance from bystanders. They say, quote, someone is harassing me right now. And it lists options for helping, such as, can you stand with me while this is happening? Should they get involved at all or no? They should just stand and watch, because they were doing that already. Right. I mean, I feel like they know you're being sexually harassed. They're like, they're on the BART system with you, which is their subway or light rail. They're already there with you. I don't understand this.
Yeah. I don't know. How would they not know?
And the person who's sexually harassing you, they don't realize you're going up to some random person and handing them a card that says, please help. Right. Like, wouldn't you be like, what did you just pass? And by the way, if this is supposed to be done on the DL, should you be putting out a press release? Because now don't all the sexual harassers know that this is what you're doing? And it's only going to get them even more upset. What are you doing? One says, if I ask, would you text BART police? Use the BART Watch app. Oh, this is just a plan to get people to download the app. Speaking of which, KTTH app. Or contact the train operator for me. So hold on. It says, if I ask, will you do this? So let's just go through this for a moment. Jackson, you'll play the person who's sexually harassing someone because, you know, you got the look. I'm kidding. So you're there and you're saying, hey, lady, what a nice flattering dress on you.
Okay.
Say it.
Hey, lady, what a nice flattering dress on you.
Oh, thank you so much. That was really sweet. Oh, it's 2024. We're supposed to pretend that that's sexual harassment. How dare you? And so now I give a card to Brady, who's in the studio with you. And it says on the card, if I ask you, so now you're going to read it to yourself. If I ask you to text the Bart Popo, will you do it? So now you're reading it. Okay, read it in your hand. So he's reading it. I can look at him, watching him. Okay, so here's how this goes. You're going to say back to me, why, yes, lady, who actually you are looking pretty good in that dress. I will contact the Bart police if you ask me to. Shh, you weren't supposed to say that. You're not supposed to. So then how are they supposed to, what's going on? So how do I tell him to text?
I don't think they thought this through.
See, I'm like legitimately asking this question. So is it all just eye contact and you were just happened, maybe they were so mesmerized by your backside because of the dress you were wearing. You're able to pass along the little card and you just make eye contact. And, you know, the other person looks down and then gives you that knowing look and like a little bit of a nod. Yeah, I'll do it. And then you're supposed to go, text. I can't hear you. Text. I can't hear you. Text! How is this supposed to go? Tell me this makes sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Seriously, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? And by the way, one of the cards is like a response that you can, I guess, give back. It says, I got you. No, you don't. This is the dumbest idea. Seriously. They say bystanders who notice disturbances can also hand out cards to perceived victims to provide assistance. The cards read, it appears you are being harassed. Oh, my God. So now I'm going to go get involved. Why can't I just say, hey, dude, stop talking about that flattering dress on her? That's sexual harassment. I mean, you're right, but it's sexual harassment in 2024. And who's to say she's a woman? Oh, yeah. It's San Francisco.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But now we're supposed... So, excuse me, sir, while you're busy harassing her, give me just 1 second. Hand her a card in which she's going to think you're giving her your business card because you want to hook up at lunch or something. Going to look at the card that says, I got you if you need it. What is she supposed to do at that point?
This reminds me of like the Dora the Explorer, like swiper, no swiping thing. Like
the what? What is
not
that?
Not your generation, I guess, but.
Are you, first of all, I'm 28 years old for 14 years. What do you mean it's not my generation? I just don't remember.
Okay.
I'm not bilingual, so I didn't understand the show. What is the swiping?
It's like, it was a kid, you know, Dora the Explorer, the kid's show.
I know Dora the Explorer is. I got that part.
She got the bad guy to go away by saying, swiper, no swiping, over and over again, and then he leaves.
Swipe what?
I don't know. His name
was... Was she on a subway?
Yeah, I don't know. He tries to steal things. I don't know.
What in God's name are you talking about?
the people listening know. If they have little kids, they know.
No one understands what you're saying. There's not a single... This program makes more sense than your recollection of the
Brady
Dora
knows
the
what
Explorer.
I'm talking about. He just confirmed.
Well, he's a liar. He's just throwing me under the bus. And feel free, by the way, I'll put this out there. If anyone has any clue what Jackson just said, any clue whatsoever, other than I'm aware that there's a show called Dora the Explorer, and it's very annoying, send me a text at 1-800-465-8770. Explain what he was not able to explain. What were they swiping?
Anything. He comes by and tries to take stuff.
Literally swiping.
Yeah, his name is Swiper, yeah.
Okay, that's a little on the nose. I get it's for kids, but it's like Cat McCatface. It's a cat character. Yeah, I got it. I can see.
Yeah, it's pretty lazy writing, but...
Swiper is his name? Really? Okay. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. This is the dumbest idea in the history of the world, and dare I say, this might actually make you a bigger target if you do this in front of a bad guy. And is it just for sexual harassment or if someone's like wanting to stab you and it's a homeless guy who's having a mental health episode? Is that the same thing or is that also considered stigmatizing so they don't want you to do that? 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show.